Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you.
Game four day again.
What's going on?
I'm not going to say that. I was about to say, I hope there's another rain out so we can just keep enjoying the anticipation.
Hey, so you and I can go do a dress rehearsal at Kirby Ice House like we did yesterday.
I showed up at Kirby Ice House assuming that we were still going to have a broadcast there even though Game with Four was canceled.
Right.
Because these things are sometimes tough to set up in advance.
Yeah.
And then I remembered, they're not tough to set up anymore. Now, if we have a little box in an internet connection, we're good to broadcast from anywhere. We had canceled the Kirby Ice House promotion.
We're one technological advancement away from them not needing hosts at remotes anymore.
Yeah, I know. some little retro-looking box that has an AI chip in it.
Right. And here's the thing. The weather was beautiful here yesterday.
It really was.
Yeah, so... we were supposed to have a broadcast. The afternoon guys were supposed to be at Kirby Ice House yesterday, 2-6, for the Astros game four, which was going to start at 2:30. Midway through the morning, we get news that the game is canceled, or it's postponed to today. So there was quickly an announcement that from 10 to 6 today, the station will be at Kirby Ice House again. You and I had planned to go over there yesterday and be there to watch the game, support the guys with the broadcast and so forth. And yes, we kept those plans because I didn't hear any differently that there wasn't going to be a broadcast. I get a call from you at 2:30, like, hey, where is everybody? And I'm like, they're in studio. You're like, are we still doing this? Yeah, we're still doing this.
I didn't even know if I was at the right place.
Yeah. No, you were.
Yeah.
And so I would say you and I got – you and I, like the Astros earlier this week, we got a workout in preparation for game four.
Yeah, we did.
We sat at the bar at Kirby Ice House for about 2 hours.
The bartender noticed that I had this book, 100 Things to Do in Houston Before You Die.
Right.
And she gave this look. She thought I was from out of town because I told her I had bought it at the airport. And I said, well, you got recommendations that aren't on here? And she gave us this look and she was like, well... How adventurous are you?
Yeah.
Like that's what she said. How adventurous are you? Like, and I'm kind of like, and she's got like a sleeve of tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at her like she's about to recommend some after hours place or something, or tell me where to score some X. I don't know.
Right.
And she like looks to her left, looks to her right, and she goes, Turkey Leg Hut. Lady, who are you, John Gruden? What the hell?
Risky?
Okay. All right, I guess. Woo!
I was there an hour ago.
Frankly, I didn't bring my church clothes. I don't think I have the wardrobe to go to church.
You dress a certain kind of way now. Yeah, that was funny. That was a good time. So anybody looking to meet us out there today at Kirby Ice House, we broke the place in yesterday. So it's good to go. Ready to go. They got the big movie screen up. Amy and I actually went back to Kirby Ice House. You and I went our separate ways yesterday. Amy and I went and ate dinner. We went back to Kirby Ice House last night to watch the Red Sox and the Rays game and the Monday Night Football game. And I can reconfirm it's ready to go for today.
Yeah.
10 a.m. Well, I think they open at noon, but we'll be there. The station will be there broadcasting starting at 10 a.m. So game four, the ripple effect, Seth, of this weather postponement from game four is that now Lance McCullers is going to pitch today. Lance McCullers was slated to pitch in Game 5, if there were a Game 5. I think this is an interesting decision. Look, on the surface, it's an easy argument to make where you go, okay, well, he's your best pitcher, and now you get a chance to close out the series earlier. It's going to be a big game atmosphere because it's on the road. Lance McCullers, by far the most experienced of any of these guys that you're throwing out there right now, which is wild to think because he's still crazy young compared to some of these other ace pitchers that are in the postseason. But Lance McCullers is going to pitch today. Do you agree with the decision to bump Lance McCullers up in the rotation and have him go today?
I do.
So I think there's arguments to be made on both sides.
Oh, yeah, I do. Like, I'm of the opinion, you know, with obviously there being exceptions here and there, but that in baseball especially, you just can't take any series for granted. It's just, I don't care that you've got a one-run lead. I don't care that you're the favorite. It's too hard to win these series. So however it might affect Lance and how many times he can go in the next series, you got to get to the next series first. I'm okay with it.
Okay, that's interesting, because when you and I were talking about the Framber Valdez starting game one thing,
yeah,
remember that idea?
The original theory that, hey, have
Framber start game one and Lance start game two, because Framber can go on short rest in game four. It was a theory out there about why that might make more sense than starting Lance in game one. I find it interesting, because I think your reasoning for starting Lance in game one was, let's not get Framber sideways on his rest, because there's a bigger picture here.
Yeah.
I do think there is a bigger picture argument for starting Lance in game five, for leaving Lance for game five, which is, if you can close out game four with Urquidy and some bullpen piggybacking and whatnot, now all of a sudden you're set up for Lance in game one of the ALCS if you're able to close it out. And the fallback is Lance starts in game five anyways for you at Minute Maid Park. You know, now, by starting Lance in game four, you are guaranteeing that he can't start until at least game three of the ALCS.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I guess that still leaves open the thought or the notion, which has never been floated by the Astros themselves. It was floated by Jake Kaplan of The Athletic, that you could start Urquidy in game one and then pitch him on short rest again if need be. But you're right. You lose. You're using your best weapon and asset in the pitching staff now to get to the second round where you might not be able to use them as much.
Yeah.
I don't know. The 2019 World Series changed things for me, Sean.
Okay.
I saw how fragile this game is. Yeah. I saw how the superior team can be upended by a plucky group of upstarts so easily. So this White Sox team, which is just loaded with people that I despise now, I'm almost more concerned with putting the White Sox down than I am anything afterwards.
You're getting emotional about
it. Yeah, I am.
Listen, this postponement of the game yesterday should not absolve Ryan Tepera, or however we pronounce his freaking name. It's Tepera. It should not let us forget Ryan Tepera and what he said about the Astros earlier this week.
They've obviously had a reputation of, you know, doing some sketchy stuff over there. And, you know, it's just we can say that it's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think you saw the swings and misses tonight compared to, you know, the first two games of Minute Maid. But that's not really the story, you know. We come here to play. You know, we're going to compete. We're not even going to worry about what they're going to do. All we have to do is execute pitches, and they can't hit them anyways.
All right, so we're not letting you out of the you're not out of the crosshairs, Tepera.
Statner and Seth got busy yesterday because I came home, and I was planning on doing some stuff, but after we got home from Kirby Ice House, I started kind of doing some digging on Ryan Tepera.
What'd you find out?
Well, you know, I was looking around. I actually subscribed to some newspaper in Brazoria County, because that's where he's from.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I'm looking for articles and whatnot.
Boy, you are taking this personal.
But for a guy, well, I was curious. Like, why would this guy, why would Ryan Tepera be the one to speak up when, for the most part, the White Sox have kept their yaps shut? Because they know they don't want to poke the bear. Yeah. Ryan Tepera, and I'm wondering if there's a little bit of the Lady Death protest too much here.
Yeah.
A little bit of projection psychologically.
What'd you find out?
Well, I found out that before the sticky stuff ban, and I found this out because at the time Ryan Tepera was a Cub back in June.
Yeah, he was traded.
I was looking around and I found all these Cubs fans in late June being like, oh, wow. Yeah. Tepera was definitely using the sticky stuff, right?
Oh, really?
Because he got shelled right afterwards.
Huh.
Pre sticky stuff crackdown.
Yeah.
June 22nd.
Right.
I remember it's because my anniversary.
Oh, okay.
So I'll know, like, I'll remember the sticky stuff ban, like, every two or three years.
Right,
routinely,
right.
I'll remember it. So, Tepera before the sticky stuff ban, 1.82 ERA. Wow.
Okay, wow. It's really good. It's like all-star level.
There's a couple rough outings, but, you know, the White Sox think, like, okay, yeah, but here's a stud. Let's bring him on.
What about after?
After the sticky stuff ban this year in the regular season, 4.05 ERA.
Ah!
Ryan Tapera.
Okay.
Who would be so quick to accuse others of misdoings? Yeah.
Is this the Eric Clapton?
Yeah.
Dusty cited this song.
Yeah, it was
yesterday.
Eric
Clapton jam.
Careful playing the Clapton. We're gonna get canceled ourselves here. Clapton's stuff has come out about Clapton.
Oh, really?
I guess I never realized this.
Okay.
He's had some.
Did he have some emails?
He's made some curious statements through the years that I never knew about.
Wow,
yeah.
Interesting.
No big deal. Just, you know, like England is for white people, stuff like that.
Oh,
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, I don't. Don't everybody fact check me on that. I don't know exactly what the whole story was.
So game four today, 107 first pitch, and the station will be at Kirby Ice House all day today, broadcasting from 10 to 6. I believe the doors open there at noon, if I'm not mistaken, at Kirby Ice House. So we'll get confirmation on that. I can confirm we will be there all day long. And go Stros. Let's get this thing done. Lance McCullers pitching against a team that has a relief pitcher that accused the Astros of cheating. These are good storylines. And we'll be following it all day long here for you on Sports Radio 610. All right, if you had a ticket for first head coach to get fired / resign, this was one of the longest shots on the board. It hit, but for reasons that nobody saw coming. We will have the story for you next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of stuff to get into, man. Laremy Tunsil's got a thumb injury. The Ravens had a monster comeback last night in Monday Night Football. I went to bed.
You gave up on Lamar Jackson.
I went to bed. It was 22-3, and I had
because you hate Lamar Jackson.
No, I don't. I love Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson's making another case for MVP this year, the way he's playing, and I think last night was an example.
No. You recycled your take from several months ago.
That's not true.
He can't come from behind. I give up on him.
That's 100% not true. I had the. No, here's the thing. Yeah. I had them in my suicide pool.
Yeah.
I went to bed. I'm like, okay, and I'm in the suicide pool with some wealthy friends of mine, and they have me making the picks every week because they see me as the expert. They're fronting the money, and
it's
I'm
too
the,
much stress.
And I'm the brains behind the
it's
operation.
It's like you're the manager of a hedge fund or something.
Yeah, you got all these yeah and I've got like 50 mind. Cents yeah, yeah. in the hedge fund, and they've got $4 jillion in it. And I went to bed. I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to get my knees broken tomorrow when I walk out of my building. And I woke up, and the Ravens won, and I had no idea how they won. Turns out there's a bunch of missed field goals by the Colts. Like, I'm like, holy crap. The Colts could have won this game about 10 different times last night.
They also, remarkable. I mean, they the Ravens were right down knocking on the door. Then they turned the ball over. That's yes. what ends up making it 22-6.
That's when I went to bed.
When that, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. That was brutal. So, anyways, so today's going to be a good day. I say that to say, today is going to be a good day. I woke up. My suicide pool is still alive. Lance McCullers is pitching in game four. Things are good. Things are not good if you're John Gruden. That seems to be the big news nationally today is around the NFL is that John Gruden
resigned
as coach of the Raiders. And I think, look, Seth, when the emails, the content of his emails from 10 years ago, I guess, started.
Well, it was 10 years up through a few years ago.
Okay, so yeah. It's been several.
It wasn't just the original
stream of
the original emails.
Emails
we found out about were in 2011 while he was an ESPN employee.
Right.
Emailed that was the email to Bruce Allen where he referred to Demoris, like he spelled it Demoris Smith. He spelled Demoris. He's the
head of the union.
Head of the union. Yeah. Said he had lips the size of the Michelin tire, man.
Right.
Which obviously would have you see that and you think obviously like okay is this a racial insult or something like that? He had a weird explanation for it that Tim Brown actually backed him up on. Which he said that when he calls people who are double speaking, he says they're rubber lipped. I don't know, man. But he ends up that falls into the category of dude. You're on a work email saying stuff about a black man in a position of leadership, and if you're not aware of like how that can look, I have a hard time believing that you're not. There's not some part of you that's aware of at least how that can look,
well,
or people would perceive it.
If that were the isolated thing in a vacuum,
yeah.
okay. This
well, that's
guy's
what it
never,
started out as,
right.
Which it could be. Okay, you're wondering is he going to address the team about this? What are his players going to say?
Right.
Everybody was waiting in the last couple of days to kind of figure out what the response would be.
He's talked to his team about it. He had talked to his team about it. His team went out and lost on Sunday to the Bears, so you wonder how much of that affected the team and the distraction and so forth. Well, they don't have to worry about Gruden distracting them anymore because there was more stuff that came out about John Gruden. Like if the Michelin tire lips comment was the only thing and it was an isolated thing, maybe you go, okay, this guy's never shown this side of him before. Do you want to forgive him for this? Okay, I don't know. I mean, it's a very nuanced conversation. Well, then the rest of this stuff comes out, and you go, okay. So how do you explain denouncing the emergence of women as referees? How do you process denouncing the drafting of a gay player? How do you he had some comments about Michael Sam when he got drafted? How do you process the denouncing the tolerance of players protesting the national anthem? There's just a whole lot of things. It's certainly with the direction the NFL has gone the last few years, we're not going to play. They probably shouldn't play at any time, anywhere. And John Gruden's gone now. He's gone. And the thing I'm most anxious to see, Seth, is who else gets caught up in this, like in this, are there other people on these email chains that get caught up in this?
Well, that's what's so weird about it is that he said some nasty stuff about Roger Goodell.
It's a homophobic slur.
Right. And this wasn't the NFL because the NFL wasn't an NFL employee in 2011. He was a Disney World employee.
He was the highest paid ESPN
or Disney.
Employee.
He was a Disney employee, which ESPN's owned by Disney.
Right.
So Disney, I'm surprised.
World.
Like Disney,
make him sound like he
Disney
was Pluto
really
or
does
something.
Not like stuff like this.
No,
yeah,
no,
like,
no.
Especially when, like any of it, the homophobic, the misogynistic, any of that. This wasn't the NFL censuring John Gruden. This was John Gruden resigning after a conversation with
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because the Raiders.
Davis is the owner of the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders have a pretty long history of doing socially progressive things. They hired, remember, Amy Trask was the,
yeah,
the team
the
president.
Show. Yeah.
Art Shell was the first black head coach in the NFL the Raiders. And I think Mark Davis has always really tried to carry on his father's legacy with all
Carl
that.
Carl Nassib is one of Gruden's players.
They had the first openly gay active NFL player. Well, on an active roster during the regular season.
Right.
Because Michael Sam, I don't think, ever made it to the regular season.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot here specific to the organization, too, where whether it was a forced resignation or not, I don't know. But it wasn't the NFL necessarily doing it. But there, I saw Florio say he figured that the NFL would just keep leaking emails until it got unbearable.
Really?
So, yeah. But I don't know if I didn't, you know, these Florio things. Florio presents something almost like a report when it's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
It is strange that out of hundreds of thousands of emails, so far Gruden is the one guy. Like, look, Gruden's got a weird personality, and he's obviously like a loud and opinionated guy. His public persona has always been described to me as being way different than how he actually treats his players. Like the QB camp stuff and everything. Not that he's a complete monster to his players or anything, but I don't know. I guess two things can be true. One, Gruden can be out there and like on the bell curve as far as how he communicates and everything. But also, it would seem that with hundreds of thousands of emails that you're going to find something else, particularly maybe to the people that he is. Are you telling me that none of the people that he was emailing this stuff to replied with anything in kind?
Yeah, right.
I'm not defending Gruden or what he said, but there is an element here too where I'm like, okay, but is this like a focused, is this focused on Gruden and Gruden alone, or is it an actual attempt to try to clean things up?
It could be that Gruden might be the only one that's still in a position of power that's on those emails, you know, or in a prominent position in the NFL.
Yeah.
They were from years ago. So, you know, it could be where they looked at it and said, look, this guy is in a position where he's a high-profile head coach in the league right now. We don't know. Seth, it could play. This could be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this thing. You know, like, this could just be the beginning. We don't know.
Somebody says, the thing about Gruden, much like most of America, is that your liberties are now being controlled. Home of the free BS. This is the thing. I think you always got to remember this. A work email is not private. I don't know, and I have a hard time. I guess I don't know when things are described as a private email. I've never once thought that any of my emails at work were private.
Right.
I always assume somebody's looking at it or something. Not that it excuses what, because now we're talking about a separate part of this. When people say, okay, well, this is an assault on our freedoms or what have you. I don't know. It's not the government coming in and doing it. It's not, there was no official sanction against him. This doesn't seem like Big Brother necessarily. This does seem like that a private company acted on its own and did what it felt like it was had to do.
We should point out, he resigned. He resigned and put out a statement saying, I don't want to be a distraction to the team. Now, was it a forced resignation? I have no idea. But the bottom line is John Gruden is gone. And if you had John Gruden being the first coach fired / resigning this year, you probably made a lot of money because he was way down on the list because he had a 10-year guaranteed contract that my guess, Seth, is he no longer has. Guessing Gruden ain't getting those last 6 years on his deal.
I don't know, though. I bet there's... I mean, we will never learn the details of the settlement. Yeah. Gruden could have said, like, no, fire me. I feel like I did nothing wrong.
Maybe.
Fire me.
Maybe.
And then Mark Davis wanted to just make it all go away.
Maybe. All right, back to the Texans. David Culley did something yesterday that he's done earlier this season that I find admirable. But I think Texan fans might feel even worse about the direction of the game management of this team moving forward when they hear some of David Culley's press conference from yesterday. Also, a reminder, a quick mention here, if you didn't see on Twitter yesterday, Nick Caserio will be on with us tomorrow at 7:30. So Texans GM Nick Caserio joining us here on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow at 7:30. So make a note. We'll hear what David Culley had to say about some of his mistakes that he made, admitted mistakes that he made in the Texans' loss to the Patriots on Sunday, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai,
There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Game 4 today, 1:07 p.m. Join us out at Kirby Ice House. We'll be broadcasting out there. The station will be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. In the Loop, and Clint Sterner and the show. David Culley met with the media yesterday, his Monday follow-up to the 25-22 loss to the Patriots on Sunday. I think what a lot of people were waiting to hear was David Culley do a follow-up. If you recall, David Culley completely mishandled the end-of-the-game situation, both in the game, where he should have let the Patriots' touchdown stand with a minute 52 to go to give his team a chance to win the game, get the ball back, try to go score a tying touchdown.
The touchdown that was negated by penalty.
The Texans
could have refused that penalty, He accepted it, and it gave the Patriots more opportunities to just grind down the clock.
And the Texans had no timeouts left. Yeah. All the Patriots had to do is just run into the line 2 times, grind the clock down, kick a field goal, game over, and that's what happened. So I think we were all interested to see what David Culley would say, because not only did he mishandle the situation in-game, he mishandled it after the game, too. He was talking about an incomplete pass that stopped the clock that didn't exist. And it was a rough press conference as well for David Culley. He has admitted his mistakes before. He admitted after the Cleveland game, if you recall, when he declined a penalty on third down to get to fourth down and punt the football in the Cleveland game, he admitted after that Cleveland game the Monday after that he mishandled that situation. What did he have to say about the situation on Sunday? Should he have declined the illegal shift penalty on the Patriots to give his team a chance to get the ball back and go score a tying touchdown?
That penalty that you accepted on the other
side. I should have declined the penalty. If I had it to do over again, I would have declined the penalty.
Okay, let's pause it right there. Okay, so that's good. So David Culley admits his mistake again. It's accountability. I don't know how many of these that I and the fans can take. It's one thing to make these mistakes and admit them. It's another thing to keep making mistakes.
It feels a little bit like the way I imagine confession is, Sean, where you're Catholic, I'm not. What do you go in, you say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned," and then you
been a
say,
long time.
My last confession. So Culley would say, "My last confession was
a week ago
or so." And
I'll let you know when I do something requiring confessing.
Yeah, that's right. Years you've gone without sinning. It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So he would say, "Bless me, Texans fans, for I have sinned."
A little bit.
It has been 1 week since my last confession. Right. Then what you confess to? You confess to the fan base,
yes.
And then you say, "This is all I can remember. I am sorry for these and all my sins." And then we, the fan base / the priests, get to decide what his penance is. What is his penance? He has to coach this Texans team for the rest of the season.
You are right. Your penance is averaging 2.8 yards per carry. You have to somehow win football games with this running game. That's your penance.
I'm also reading here that the prayer that you have to express true sorrow for the sins that you confess. Do you feel like David Culley expressed true sorrow?
I do feel like he's I feel like he legitimately thinks he made a mistake, and he is. Yes, I think he is. I think he regrets making the mistakes that he has made managing games for this football team at times. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I do. So that's all well and good. And I've heard people say, like, "Yeah, awesome, you admitted it the first time, and that's cool." That's your mulligan.
They grant him absolution. Yeah. That's step 7.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
I feel like I'm ready for confirmation. I've learned so much about the church.
Okay, all Catholicism aside, where are you on David Culley admitting these? Like, how many of these does he get before you go, okay, well, just stop making these mistakes?
I'm just like your good neighborhood priest. I'm gonna keep allowing it. Okay. And as long as he keeps confessing it and transparently saying it, you know what it does? It makes it more bearable when he's put into the unfortunate circumstance because he's the coach of this resetting Texans team, when he has to kind of lie to us sometimes.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's painful for him. This has been one of the weirdest experiences I've ever been in following pro sports, where I think people in the fan base and in the media basically don't want to have to call him out for a lot of stuff, because a lot of it, frankly, isn't his fault. Like, it feels very much like David Culley was hired to do a job, which was to keep the ship steady somewhat, keep there from being a huge mass disruption somehow, as the Texans churn and churn and churn their roster and perhaps make some very unpopular decisions. And then Culley has to stand up there and answer for the unpopular decisions.
Yeah, that's fine. You just can't be making mistakes that a 10-year-old doesn't make on Madden.
The problem is, okay, you're not going to, that's not going to change. Maybe it'll get a little bit better. Because, you know, people will say, and it's true, look, he's a first-time head coach. Yeah, but he's 67 years old. Like, it's not.
He's been around the game. And you're not ageisming him.
Right,
saying he's been around the game forever.
For decades. Yeah, this is not some young hothead that gets caught up in emotions or something. But it does feel it sometimes that his decisions are ruled more by emotion than by strategy. And
or by the direction the wind's blowing, or some haphazard thing. I don't know.
But I think that what it becomes is more of an intermediate term situation, where you're taking notes and you're wondering, like, okay, if you're wondering before the season, as we all started to really like Culley because you saw what a good job he was doing under adverse circumstances,
yes,
you're also wondering, yeah, but is he the guy long term? And I've seen a lot that makes you question, okay, is this going to be the guy that you actually use to get back to being a potential championship contender?
Right.
The game management issues, it's tough, because when Andy Reid, for years upon years upon years, made really stupid in-game decisions.
One of David Culley's mentors,
yeah,
by the way.
Had horrible clock management. Yeah. He was also doing it while being one of the best offensive coordinators who ever lived.
There was something to cancel that out.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Culley to show what his offsetting traits are, because he just doesn't have a good roster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Andy Reid had better rosters, obviously, and he was a very good offensive coordinator, but we can't. It's hard to focus on the good with Culley with this roster.
Seth, he doesn't have a ton of responsibility either, at least outwardly. And, you know, unless I'm missing something here, unless there's massive things he's doing behind the scenes that we don't see. But on game day, he's not calling plays offensively. I mean, he's got veto power, I'm sure. He's on the headset. He's not calling plays, formations, schemes, blitzes defensively. Special teams has been outsourced to somebody else. So I think that's the other thing. Now, it's nice. It's all well and good that he admits his mistake. It takes a big man to do that. I think we've had other coaches here that would have a hard time admitting that they made a mistake in game. Here's the next part of what David Culley was asked on Sunday. If you recall, he continually brought up that an incomplete pass by the Patriots affected their decision-making at the two-minute warning, or around the two-minute warning. Patriots did not throw a pass after the 3-minute and 18-second mark in this game. From 3 minutes and 18 seconds left in the game on, they ran the ball 7 times. David Culley was asked by Aaron Reese of The Athletic about the pass that he was referring to. Listen to this.
Answering it, though, you mentioned that they passed, which helped you. What pass were you?
Well, it wasn't a pass. I was thinking that was a pass. What ended up happening is that during that time, I thought the clock got stopped. I had actually stopped the clock with a timeout. And then I had no more timeouts left at that point. And so, but again, if I had it to do over again, I would have allowed him to score.
I remembered that you stopped the clock too.
I'm not trying to pick on the guy, but he's the head coach of an NFL football team. Like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
It'd
be like if you walked into the kitchen in the morning, you're like, wait a second, did I adopt these kids or conceive them myself?
It's not that far off.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Like, no. Think of what, honestly, if you took what David Culley just said, he's the head coach of an NFL team. He thought that there was an incomplete pass, and it turns out it was a timeout that he called.
Yeah.
That he called. If you read a transcript of that and said Bill O'Brien said this, can you imagine what Texan fans would be saying today if Bill O'Brien and the points that you made about this team, where they're at, look, they're in a different part of the birth cycle than they were with O'Brien.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot more encyclopedias that come with Bill O'Brien that don't come with David Culley. I get all that, but that is completely disturbing. I love his honesty. I'm glad he's open and honest about all of this, and I think he's a great dude. And I think the fact that he admitted he made a mistake again is very admirable. You got to stop making these mistakes, A, and that he confused in the postgame press conference that his brain somehow concocted an incomplete pass that was actually a timeout that he called.
Yeah.
That he called is completely disturbing if you're rooting for this team to win football games.
Well, this
right
is
now.
The and right, and that's the key. If you're rooting for this team to win football games,
half
right
the
now.
Fan base because, is probably glad he made these look, mistakes because they want a high draft.
In fairness to Culley, when he was hired, it was very easy. It was very easy to think or to wonder, okay, are they for a guy that's never been considered a head coaching candidate before, who, as I've been told, is not making good money by NFL head coaching standards. Is this just a short-term solution? Did the Texans hire him just to get through the next year or two, and then they'll go on to a guy that they consider a more serious NFL coach? I don't think it wasn't fair at that moment to just assume that that's what they were doing. The more you see as you go along here, and people ask, like, why did the Texans hire David Culley? I sure would. Even though I don't really necessarily approve of the strategy, I hope that's what the strategy is now, yeah. Because otherwise they made a horrible decision on trying to get a guy if they actually thought, yeah, this will be the guy that's going to take them to a championship someday.
Imagine if that game really mattered on Sunday.
Which is, we've had a couple people, we've had people call in and say, hey, this is a problem that Caserio wants to have all this power and control, and because of that, they'll never win a championship because Caserio wants to be the guy. My response to that is, I think it's more likely that Caserio views Culley as a short-term solution, in that at some point he plans on swapping him out for somebody that's more hard-edged, more aware of things, just a better football mind, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean that cut where you have a head coach that's confusing an incomplete pass for a timeout called is it's not acceptable. It's just not. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. The other part, I think that people wanted to hear about the turning point in the game on Sunday, undoubtedly to me, Seth, was the sequence where Cam Johnston ran up to the line as if they were going to, the Texans are up 22-9. It's early in the third quarter, about 10 minutes left in the third quarter, comes up to the line as if they might run a fake punt. And then they back off of it, but he only backs up like 4 or 5 yards from where he was. I counted, he was lined up about 9 or 10 yards behind John Weeks.
Yeah.
Normally, he's 15 yards behind John Weeks. They snap it. Cam Johnston punts the ball into the back of Terrence Brooks' head. The ball squirts out of bounds. The punt is a zero-yard punt. Next thing you know, the Patriots have basically 3 free points on the board. Here was David Culley yesterday on what he called the punt thing.
The punt thing. Initially, when the punt thing happened, I thought maybe it was penetration that got the punt blocked. He missed the punt. You know, it wasn't penetration. You know, he actually mishit the punt, and the punt went into one of our guys. So it wasn't a thing up front. It was just something where our guys, our kicker didn't do his job from the standpoint of being able to do those things, and then our punter did the same thing on the punt. I mean, it wasn't our special teams people not doing the right thing. We just didn't execute, and they didn't get the job, and he didn't make the kicks.
Right, one more real quick. There was a follow-up about the distance that Johnston was from John Weeks snapping the football. Here was David Culley. Did that matter, David Culley?
No, it had nothing to do with the distance. He missed the kick. The kick went off the inside of his foot. When you look at it closely, the kick went off the inside of his foot. He did it in practice 3 times, and everything was perfect.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I guess I don't know if you're equivocating there or what have you. I mean, like, you can mishit a kick, and it's not as bad if you're 5 yards back because it doesn't hit the personal protector. I mean, that's just the geometry of it. And then there's when you're doing something unconventional, there's a better chance that you're going to screw up the kick and go off the inside of your foot.
If he's far enough back, that kick doesn't hit Terrence Brooks.
And that's, I mean, it's still on Cam Johnston, too. I mean, both Kyeemy Fairbairn and Cam Johnston, who are both among the higher paid guys at their position in the NFL, need to be better than whatever the hell they've been doing as of late. Yeah. I was so excited about Cam Johnston in the preseason. But
That the design of that was good. But I don't know why he had to be at 10 yards instead of 15. I don't know if that was Cam Johnson's error as well. Unless they were just trying to get the ball off without having the return, which saves you like 5 yards.
Lost on track average. Of where he was on the field. You know what I mean? Like it's they're not real football players.
Now that was one. I know a lot of people are down on that play, and I personally was A-okay with it just because they did what you're supposed to do. They thought they saw something in film that they thought the Patriots might be unprepared for. They checked to see if it was there. It wasn't, so they were going to punt. Again, I don't know why he was at 10 yards instead of 15.
Yeah, you got to execute.
If you're bailing on the fake punt, then by all means, just go back into a conventional punt. Yeah.
Did you see the quote in The Athletic and Mike Sando's article about what an executive around the league? There's some, you know, Mike Sando of The Athletic talks to all these anonymous executives every week. He says the executive talked about the aborted fake punt that we just heard David Culley talking about. He said, you ever notice why people don't do that bleep? They were going to trick Belichick. It's like they were going to toilet paper his house, but they made too much noise. The neighbor called the cops. Yeah. They sprained their ankle running away, got tackled, and spent the night in jail.
It's a nice analogy, but that executive's an idiot. Because people have successfully fooled Belichick before. Yeah. John Harbaugh has, Mike Vrabel has. I mean, the question isn't whether you should or should not. The question is, are you capable of getting away with it? Right. Are you the guy that can do it? And the Texans weren't. Now, they got him with a flea flicker in that game. They did a little bit more. Gosh, I hate that I say razzle dazzle now. I blame Vandermeer for it.
Razzle dazzle.
I hate that phrase so much, and now I'm saying it. So they did use a little bit of misdirection in that game and a little bit of trickery, and I'm okay with it. But you got to execute it. You just have to that punt. In theory, what they did with the punt there was fine. They just executed it poorly.
Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans. Get his thoughts on John Gruden, Urban Meyer. Insider calls brought to you by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app. And visit BetQL.com today. Laremy Tunsil has a UCL injury in his thumb, which may or may not require surgery. He might try to play through it.
Will that be Tommy John of the thumb?
I guess. I don't know. When I saw,
I didn't know you had so many UCLs
all
over
either.
The place.
I didn't either. But do you think that Laremy Tunsil tries to play through this injury to his thumb? I know Landry's thoughts on whether or not Laramie's going to try to play through the injury.
I think he will. I don't know. It's hard. You know, for defensive linemen, you can play with a club on your hand because there's other ways you can make. Sometimes a club's actually fun to use as a weapon. Harder for offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You
need
much,
your fingers.
Yeah. I mean, you need them as a defensive lineman too, but you can just get away with it more easily.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he's going to. So it could have surgery.
It's going to need surgery eventually, according to Ian Rappaport. Yeah, but he may try to play through it. Look, whether he plays through it or not, to me, the biggest thing with this, and we'll talk more about this as we roll on with the show, he's untradeable now. You can't. You know what he has, Seth? He has a de facto no-trade clause now. I bring this up because the trade deadline is in 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks from tomorrow. And we know that this team, that nobody is safe from being traded right now on this team, is my guess.
Yeah.
And including Laremy Tunsil, who would, other than Deshaun Watson, probably bring the most back in a trade if healthy. He's got like a de facto no trade clause when you think about it. If they get a deal to a team that he doesn't want to go to, he can be like, oh, time to get surgery on my thumb.
My thumb is an owie.
Yeah.
I have to do it.
If it's a team he wants to go to, he'll play through it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's even an outrageous thing to say.
The thing that gives me pause about trading Laremy Tunsil, even though I wish he were better at run blocking, but he is a very good pass blocker. And I think he genuinely wants to get better at right. He just needs the right inspiration. Look at what's happened with the Dolphins since they traded away Laremy Tunsil. Hey, we get 2 first round picks for Laremy Tunsil.
They're
awesome,
one and
right?
Four.
Their offensive line is atrocious.
Yeah.
Their offensive line is probably one of the worst in the league. Their left tackle is one of the worst in the league. Once you have a left tackle, I'm not saying a top 3 left tackle. Right? Like once you have a pretty damn good left tackle, I'm not going to say that you don't let go of him at any price, but be careful about thinking that it's so easy to replace.
Yep, no doubt.
Especially now that, yes, his contract was exorbitant. Yes, you gave away those 2 first-round picks to get him. Right, but you don't have to try to regain those picks that are long gone.
Isn't it funny? The teams that received all these multiple high picks for players,
yeah.
You go look at who they are. Remember there was that string of trades a few years ago? The Jags, Jalen Ramsey, they're trash right now. Yeah. The Dolphins, Laremy Tunsil, they're trash right now. The Jets, Jamal Adams, still trash.
You go back to the RG3 trade in the draft. Now, that wasn't for a veteran, but the Rams got nobody out of it.
They did nothing.
All the players they drafted were all out of the league, right, basically, within a few years.
For everybody that's going to celebrate the Deshaun Watson trade when it happens someday, know that it is a cautionary
tale. Didn't get Aaron Donald with one of those picks.
They did not.
It was a whole bunch of nobodies.
They did not. You're absolutely right. All right, we head into the 7 o'clock hour. Ryan Tepera gave the Astros some juice. We know that. Dusty Baker talked about it yesterday. I thought Dusty handled this perfectly. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.